honored to have you on our call tonight. Sean was actually the, I think I would put with a capital T-H-E, the keynote speaker at the speaker author networking group that I was at just a matter of weeks ago. It feels like months ago, so much has happened. And your message really, really touched me. And we're going to bring you on in just a few minutes, but you know what it's like to have surgeries. You've had over 200 fractures. I mean, with the condition that you've been born with, just to have a sneeze that could break a collar or fracture a leg. And I remember watching your clip about breaking a leg on Halloween and how tough that was and what your mother said to you. I can't wait to hear some of that tonight. And then we have Mindy Kness. Am I saying that right, Mindy?
Yes, sir.
Your remarkable fiance and your work and your blog about restarting the heart. I mean, we'll give proper attribution. This is just the perfect call. I did receive, about a half an hour ago, my beautiful, sweet Taylor. She called and she said, "Hi, Papa." She doesn't call me Grandpa. She said, "Is it okay if I don't get on your call tonight?" And I said, "Of course it's okay." I said, are you not feeling well? And she said, "No, I just don't feel like I'm up to the call." And so I just want to express for her my profound gratitude and thanks for all of you who have prayed and sent positive messages from all over the world. Mindy and Sean, you'll be interested to know that just a few seconds ago, a woman named Marlene got on the call. You'll hear her at the end. You don't have to stay on, from Belgium. And it is a little after 2 in the morning in Belgium, and Marlene joins us on these calls. We have people from North America, from South America, from Europe, some via Skype, some via the telephone, and I know you two are calling in via Skype tonight. Well, let me just start with some of my new writing about the heart. I have a new book that I'll be finishing here shortly, Healing Through the Power of Words. And I mentioned in Aspire about the remarkable heart and how our bodies are wired for life and how it all starts with the heart, and that we could literally lay out end to end this vast network of arteries and veins and capillaries that make up our cardiovascular system. And if we did that, it would cover over 60,000 miles, enough distance to wrap around the earth more than twice. So that's pretty significant. And having been at Primary Children's Hospital in Salt Lake City last week with Taylor, to just 10 days ago, she underwent open-heart surgery. It's literally a miracle that she's home so soon. You know, yet that same heart, it has the ability to take a single red blood cell and circulate it through the entire body in 20 seconds. And the more it's exercised, the stronger the heart becomes. I'm renting a bike here tomorrow. I've got some time in the morning. I'm going to go out for about a four-hour bike ride, I hope. A well-trained athlete can grow their heart 70% larger than a normal-sized heart. And conversely, lack of exercise causes the heart muscle to shrink. But this is the key. This is where I want to introduce you to some new thoughts and then quickly bring on Mindy and Sean. But the heart is more than a pump. It's the key to wellness. It's the seat of our deepest emotions and loftiest aspirations. You've heard me say before that our heart is 100 times more powerful than our mind alone. And we know the greatest self-help principle of all time is that we become what we think about. We know how the mind is, but the heart, measured electrically, is 100 times more powerful. When you combine it with the mind and you combine it with your natural gifts and intend to achieve an aspiration, it becomes 5,000 times more powerful. The heart is at the center of literature dating back to medieval times. Novelists, playwrights, poets, songwriters through the ages have created their own vocabulary around the heart. We've heard phrases like, it's heartless, big-hearted, cold-hearted, heartfelt, do it with all your heart, and they evoke strong mental images. In ancient Egypt, the heart was viewed as the seed of humanity. In fact, they view it as the scale. What was the intention of your heart? What did you do for others will determine where you go after this life, according to the Egyptians, and I think they're right. Judaism views the heart as the temple of the soul and the seat of wisdom, and in Christianity, the heart is the symbol of love and compassion. Well, I'll tell you what, my heart overflowed again 9 years later after little dear Taylor's first open heart surgery, and they went in and replaced her valve and her artery. She got a cow valve. I'm going to get her something from Wisconsin. There's got to be something here with a cow on it, the land of agriculture. But to watch her recover, to visit with her doctor, Dr. Kaza, and he's like 35 years old. He's one of the best heart surgeons in the world. 2 days after, he really healed and brought in and added, you know, encouraged C-O-U-R means heart. So when we courage, we add to somebody's heart. 2 days after operating on Taylor, and it took her several days to get over nausea, and she still had a little bit difficult night last night with pain, but she's doing remarkably well. It's absolutely a miracle. 2 days after operating on Taylor, and if you can believe this, Sean and Mindy, Dr. Kaza in Salt Lake City did a heart transplant for a 13-year-old. I believe I have the age right. I talked to her father, whose heart had failed. She had been on a machine waiting for a donor heart. And I will be talking to him here in the next week to 10 days to interview him for my next book. And he literally kept this young girl alive by doing a heart transplant. Well, sometimes we need some kind of a heart transplant. I start the first chapter of my next book talking about the heart and a quote that I put on my like page. And Sean, we're Facebook friends now, buddy. We are Facebook friends.
It's real. I can like you now.
We can really be friends. You snuck me in. You're such a popular guy. You got me in your page, and I'm excited. But I put on my like page, Kevin Hall Like, this quote by Frederick Buechner: pay mind to your own life, your own health and wholeness. A bleeding heart is of no help to anyone if it bleeds to death. And I want to just share for just a few more minutes. Some of you heard this on the Christmas Eve call, what the Mayas, what they discuss, one of the, you know, just picture a group of warriors racing across the sky in the mountainous regions of Mesoamerica, one of the world's six cradles of civilization. And the noble inhabitants of these highlands still speak an ancient Mayan language. And in passing one another on their way to worship or work. And Mindy, I want to hear your comments on this as we talk about your work and restarting the heart. They regarded work as a form of worship when performed with passion and purpose. And we could spend the whole call just on that. I could write a whole book about that. But they would often, the Maya, in passing each other on their way to work or worship, they would often exchange the watchword Kusheyalan. It's pronounced like it's K-O-O-S-H-E-Y-E-H-L-A-N, but it's spelled a little differently, but it means, how is your heart? And this insightful salutation by the Maya invites us to look at more than how fast or slow our heart is beating. In the Maya culture, just like we've talked about, the heart was viewed as the sacred source of one's well-being, the literal temple of the soul. Kusheyalan, how is your heart, is an invitation I want to extend to every person on this call tonight, whether you're listening on the computer, on Skype, you'll listen to this in the recording, or do it live tonight. It's an invitation for you to examine the wellspring of your deepest desires and emotions. And I want you to start following your heart. I see a good friend John, who I can't wait to connect you with, named Gary Epping. He's in a wheelchair. He's up in Portland, Oregon. Amazing entrepreneur. Does some phenomenal things. And you two will connect. He knows what it means to have heart. He spent 3 days with me at an Inspire Life Mastery Experience in February in Coronado Island. We're going to do another one of those September 22nd, 23rd, 24th. And if you're not training, I would love to have you and Mindy there. But remember, our heart, it can be full of hope or sorrow. It can be open or closed. It can be light or heavy. It can be whole or broken. It can brim over with love and gratitude, or it can ache and throb with pain. It can beat with a purposeful rhythm. That's what's happening with Taylor now, really, for the first time in her life. They want to rest her for 6 weeks, and they can't keep her down because her heart is pumping like it's never pumped before. It can be, your heart, a warm and serene source of life, or it can attack our health and happiness. It can heal or be in need of healing. Sean, if I want to see you, and then Mindy, I want you to come on any. If you know what, Sean, let's start with Mindy. Should we do ladies first?
I mean, for sure.
He's
going to be way smarter than me, so let's start with the good stuff.
Mindy, your work is about restarting the heart. Tell us about that and maybe some of your thoughts as I've shared some of my new writing about the heart, please.
Sure, Mindy. Kevin, I love. Yes.
I didn't give you a proper introduction, but, I mean, you're an integrated coach. You've got your PhD, you're a counselor, a therapist. And your website, and I hope you write this down for all of you, www.restartyourheart.com. I've been on that this week, looking at what you post on a regular basis every week or two. You're profiling someone about restarting your heart. Tell us a little bit about what that means to you, please.
Sure, thank you. Basically, Restart Your Heart is about exactly what you've been talking about. I love all the historical wisdom tradition references that you've been talking about, because that's exactly in alignment with what I do. The heart isn't just about this mushy and sentimental aspect, though it does have that also, but there's a whole bigger segment of really what the heart is involved with in our lives. And the way that I look at it is that it's involved in everything. And if we can be living from our heart center, that's going to be the most powerful place that we can come from, because the heart is the bridge between the mind and the body. So a lot of people in our current society live in their mind. You know, they're all go, 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 yep. And it's very ego-based often. Or sometimes a lot of people just live in the body and are not interested in thinking about the spiritual effects of what's going on around them. So the heart is really that intersection between the mind and the body. So what I teach is that people can begin to let down and let go of some of the barriers and blockades that they've built up based on pain in their life or circumstance in their life. A lot of people have just walls built up around their heart, but I teach them how to let those come down and then really live with your heart shining forward in your life, because that then affects everything. It affects your health physically. It affects your decision-making intellectually. It affects your vitality, your intuition. All kinds of different things are all motivated through that heart flow that people begin to experience when they let those walls come down.
Well, and I have to tell you, when I met you at that reception, the very first night of SANG, the Speaker Author Networking Group, and Sean, you're a lucky man. I could feel your heart. You have a pure heart. You really care about people. You're not just talking, coming out of your mind. I mean that, Mindy. There was just something about you I didn't know until later, until we communicated a couple of times about with your work with the heart. And I love what you just said, that it's the bridge between our body and our mind. I mean, that's so valuable. If encourage means to add to your heart or add to someone's heart, the person that we need to encourage the most, it's us. It's ourselves. We need to heal that broken heart, become whole, and then tap into, like you just mentioned, a powerful life source. So I want to thank you, Mindy, for crossing my path with Sean and the opportunity that we had to meet in Hollywood. And I think this is going to be a friendship that'll last a long time.
Likewise, Kevin. Thank you so much. And I think that's why we were able to connect like that, is because you come from that same heart space. You know, you're walking around with your heart open, just saying, hey, who are you? What are you doing here? And getting to know people. And I loved that about you immediately. So I thank you and honor that in you as well.
Well, thank you. I think I'm going to read just a poem, and then I want to get some feedback from you and Sean. I'm just so thrilled and honored that you'd both be on the call tonight. A lot of people say, well, how do I overcome a broken heart, a heavy heart, a disappointed heart? I believe this is, and I would love to get your opinion on this, that the best way to heal a broken heart is to put it to work with hard work that demands passion, what am I willing to suffer for, and purpose, which comes from the word propose, proposing what I'm going to do with my unique God-given gifts. I think we can heal a broken heart when we, as you said earlier, when we take down the walls, put our heart back to work with meaningful, significant work that demands passion and purpose. I'm really excited about healing through the power of words. I want to interview both of you further. I could see a couple of feature stories in the next book coming from you and your work. I want to share a poem. Some of you have heard it, but it was penned by Douglas Mallock, M-A-L-L-O-C-H. And he was honoring the tens of thousands who ranged the American frontier with courage and determination. This was just at the dawn of the 20th century. And I think these words ring as true today as they did over a century ago. And the poem is Good Timber. The tree that never had to fight for sun and sky and air and light, but stood out in the open plain and always got its share of rain, never became a forest king, but lived and died a scrubby thing. The man who never had to toil to gain and farm his patch of soil, who never had to win his share of sun and sky and light and air, never became a manly man, but lived and died as he began. Good timber does not grow with ease. The stronger wind, the stronger trees. The further sky, the greater length. The more the storm, the more the strength. By sun and cold, by rain and snow, in trees and men, good timbers grow. Where thickest lies in forest growth, we find the patriarchs of both, and they hold counsel with the stars, whose broken branches show the scars of many winds and much of strife. This is the common law of life. When we can take that wind, Jim Rohn said, the same wind blows on us all. It's just the set of the sails that makes the difference. You and Sean have had to reset your cells a time or two or three or four. We have a lot of listeners on this call from all over the world who are attempting to do the same thing. How do you set those cells, Mindy? And then I want to introduce Sean and have you two come back and forth. And let's just talk about this concept in greater depth.
Sure. So I think that it's exactly what you were talking about with passion and purpose. The word that I would use is choice. That's always how it's going to start when you're going to open up your heart again or begin to heal a broken heart or reset a sail in your life in terms of the direction that you're going, the people that you're going with, no matter what kinds of circumstances are outside of you, external to you, it's always going to begin with an internal choice. And then the choice is ultimately, when you break it down to its bare minimum, the choice is between love or fear. And a lot of times people tend to keep up those walls that barricade their heart because of fear. They're afraid of it getting hurt further or, you know, whatever might happen. But they ultimately have that choice. It's a conscious choice that they need to make to choose for love as opposed to choosing fear consistently.
John, you were phenomenal at saying, but why was it Mindy speaking? That is unbelievable, Mindy. John, how come she wasn't keynoting that morning?
Want to ask me because I'm going to just come back with the same response, which is I have no clue. She's a firecracker ready for the world to find out about, and it's been just fun being in this relationship because there's no doubt in my mind this woman is smarter than me. This woman has got a concept of humanity and love that I constantly learn from, and I think very soon, Kevin, we won't ask that question because she will be headlining and I'll have to be opening for her.
I think both of your message. No, Mindy, people need what you just said and how you said it and how you adapted to my lead-in and said it's choice and it's about opening your heart and resetting the cells. But then you came back to choices between love and fear. I mean, it's between love and fear. And Viktor Frankl said it's the second most highlighted section of Aspire. You can take anything away from a man, and I know he meant a man or a woman, but it's the second most highlighted section. You can take anything away from a man or a woman, but the last of the human freedoms, the ability to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, the ability to choose one's own way. People can read that. I've been in Victor's home where the Nazis came in the silence of the night. I've been where he wrote 32 books. I've been to the where he did his practice for helping people find meaning. And I know a bit of what he went through to write those words, but there are people on this call and all over the world. As I presented today, I had about 2.5 hours with an incredible financial group here in Wisconsin, and I had the same experience on Friday. And I was in San Diego yesterday with the Sizzler Restaurant leadership team. And sometimes you'll look into somebody's eyes and you can see that their heart is hurting. They've been knocked down a time or two or three. And they're thinking, well, you don't know how hard it has been for me. These words sound really good. They're a great soundbite in a keynote, but you don't know my story. A lot of people know your story, Sean, and a lot don't. I mean, you've been a YouTube sensation. I mean, you've had over a million people. Your clip of dancing around, if you haven't seen it, is just unbelievable. In fact, I want to post that. I'd love to have you just send that to my page, and we'll post that on my like page and my personal page. But 200 fractures in your life, I can't even fathom that, Sean. And the way you greeted me the first time I met you, you treated me, as did Mindy, like I was the most important person in the world. You were having fun. We were with Joe Polish. We were over in a corner. We talked a little bit after that. And I remember asking you, what is your mission? And I had to go back and get my journal. I always carry my journal with me, but it was sitting somewhere else. Can you remember? I said, what's your mission?
Sure.
And tell our listeners what you said to me that day, because I filled up a half a page in my journal immediately after you shared what you shared.
Well, fortunately, I've had some really strong mentors, starting with my parents and then along the way in business. And this, to answer your question, one of my mentors challenged me not too long ago, maybe about a year ago. And he said, what will be your legacy? What are you here for? What what is your sole purpose on this planet? And I thought about it, and, you know, I came out with something really quickly, and he said, nope, that's not it. Keep coming. Keep coming up with ideas, and then I'll tell you when you get it, because it'll ring like a clear, beautiful bell to both of us when you come up with it. So, you know, the not-so-glamorous story was it took me a while to figure it out, to kind of hone it from helping people to helping people love themselves. I mean, a lot of motivational cliche lines. And then finally I called him up and said, I got it. My purpose is to rid the world of insecurity. And he said, you nailed it. That's it, right there. It's like when John F. Kennedy said, and, you know, we're going to go to the moon, we're going to land a man, we're going to bring him home safely. He didn't just come out with a goal. He created a movement called NASA, basically, and started a space war with the rest of the world, you know, space race, not a war, but a space race on, you know, who was going to be able to do this. And, you know, created thousands of jobs from that one comment, and you know, now we're exploring space because he said, you know, we're going to go do this. And it didn't even get fully recognized in his lifetime. And I feel the same way about ridding the world of insecurity. I believe that what really plagues people is the feeling, and if I can boil down what insecurity is to me, insecurity is believing that you're not enough, that you need to look a certain way or acquire a certain accomplishment or have a certain amount of money or just obtain a certain object or home. And I've found in the millionaires and billionaires that I've worked with and the celebrities that I've worked with that external things and accomplishment doesn't make you feel whole. It doesn't give you inner peace. It gives you, at best, temporary gratification. And so if we really want to get our insecurities and remove them, we have to start working on feeling enough and finding all the ways that we are enough. And it's not something that comes overnight, but it's not something that's impossible. I do believe it's a work in progress. You know, with all that I've studied about insecurity and confidence and self-esteem, I myself still have days where I feel insecure, days where I get jealous, days where I get grumpy and depressed. And you know, I have access to those lower vibration emotions. But the difference is that I know that it doesn't have to be that way. I know that I'm choosing that, as Mindy mentioned. I'm choosing that mentality, and so therefore I'm gathering the consequences because of those choices. But by surrounding myself with loving people, such as picking the most amazing woman as my partner, you know, it doesn't matter how bad things get, I have somebody who knows what my purpose is here and really holds me to a high standard. What's beautiful about my relationship with Mindy is that neither one of us, very, very rare in the time that we've been together, that we're both down and out at the same time. I think it's maybe happened 3 times in the course of an entire, you know, long-term relationship. And it's either she's dealing with something and I'm up, or I'm doing something and she's up. And that's the beauty of really picking the right person, is that they can be a stand for your greatness. And yes, I've incurred a lot of physical pain, but I can tell you, as you mentioned earlier, the pain of emotional pain from the heart, you know, the loss of a loved one or a relationship ending abruptly or staying in a bad relationship, it is far more damaging than any bone fracture to the human body.
Wow. You don't know, Sean, that today, as I started about a half a day of training, a little less than that, I started with a clip because I talk about words and the power of words, and that's what I speak on, and it was JFK sharing those 27 words in 1961 that created a movement, and then 8 years later, in 1969, it happened. And we didn't only send a man, we later sent a man and a woman to the moon and back. So what we choose, what we go after, and then the people that we surround ourselves with. Most of the people on this call have heard me say, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. The word friend comes from free. when you're around a true friend, you're free to be who you were meant to be. When you're around someone who's not a true friend, they always want to change you. You can't quite be who you're meant to be. It doesn't mean you can't improve and change and grow. That's living life in crescendo, knowing that your greatest work is always ahead of you. But surround yourself with people who lift you, who rejoice in your success. And you are honored to do that with Mindy, and I have the privilege to do that with my wife, Sherry, 31 and a half years now, and there's nothing quite like that. So how do you make those choices? Let's say either of you might be having a bad day. I don't have too many bad days anymore. I might have a bad moment, occasionally maybe a bad hour, but we're human. Things happen, and you just got to be real with what it is. But I try not to turn those into a bad day or a bad week or a bad month or a bad year or a bad life, because I know that the sun's always going to come up. I wanted to go for a bike ride today in Madison, Wisconsin. It was raining. And like Dolly Parton said, if you want the rainbow, you got to put up with the rain occasionally. How do you see the rainbow that's coming when you're in the midst of this storm, when things aren't going quite right? And what do you suggest? I mean, you're both clinical psychologists, therapists. You're amazing thought leaders in what you do. I actually want to have you two come and speak at a couple of events that we're doing, and I'll make it worth your while to do that. How do you, if you're on this call, how do you get out of that external, outward, victim kind of mentality into the victor mentality, which Viktor Frankl wrote so succinctly and lived so articulately? How do you do that?
Well, I yield first to my lovely lady.
All right, well, what I would say, I do have to say, Kevin, that you were talking a little bit earlier about when you met Sean first, and his true genius is rapport, and that also is coming from his heart center. So I just want to point that out. He is a rapport genius, and that's what you saw when you met him the first time. But to answer your question,
I want to confirm that. Yes, please.
It definitely, like I was saying earlier, it starts with a choice. It starts with making a conscious choice and saying, I am not going to be this victim anymore. I'm going to do it differently. And what I tell my clients all the time is that in any given moment of any day, they have the opportunity to make a different choice, to do something differently. Even if they've done it the same way for every single day in their life, they can choose differently in any given moment. That's the beauty of each new moment, we have this great new opportunity. But then what happens is, I think that for me, the way that I would explain it is that it's a combination of practice and faith. The practice that I'm talking about is really that process that Sean mentioned. Sean and I talk a lot about the phrase, trust the process, and know that you're going through this. It's not going to change maybe immediately, or at least you won't feel the change immediately. But the practice is similar to going to a gym. If you're going to work on your muscle mass or your strength or your fitness or flexibility, you don't just go to the gym one time and assume that it's going to be perfect how you want it. You go consistently, and over time you begin to see change in your life. It's the same thing with breaking out of the victim mentality. It starts with a choice. Like, I'm going to go to the gym, and then I'm going to go again. In this case, it's, I'm not going to maintain this victimhood as I go through my life, so I'm going to look into other ways to do this, and then practice consistently choosing to do those other things, to live with your light on, with your love focused forward. And then it's the faith that it truly is a process that you're going through, and there is progress along the way.
Wow, Mindy, I am not going to sleep tonight. I'm trying to finish this chapter on the heart, and I got to tell you, to live with your light and your love on moving forward. See, we have a choice. We can take what's happened to us if it wasn't good in the past. Our hindsight vision is hindsight, foresight, and insight. Insight comes from the heart. It happens right now. But we have a choice. When something bad happens to us, we can go to the past and use it as a hitching post and just hook up. But if we take our heart or our love and move it forward where we want to go, use it as a guidepost in the past, that hurt, that pain, the failure, the disappointment, use it as a guidepost instead of a hitching post, amazing things happen in our life. Keep telling me a little bit more about that, and then I've got a question for Sean after we just, let's put our waders on a little bit and dig just a little bit deeper. So how do you move forward with your heart?
Well, I would say that move forward, it again goes back to that choice. And ultimately the choice, like I was talking about earlier, between love and fear, love is going to move you forward and fear is going to move you backward. Fear is like a quicksand of, you're not able to really do anything when you're encased in that fear. But love is this most powerful force of the universe, and it's a driving force. So it will not only pull you, but propel you forward if you're open to it. A lot of people even get scared of saying, well, maybe I don't want to move forward. I don't know what's out there. It's the unknown. It's outside of their comfort zone. But I can guarantee that if they're moving forward with love as their, like you said, the guidepost, then beautiful, amazing, fantastic, wonderful things come into their life, because that's what love is all about at its core. It's really, really good intrinsically.
I got to tell you, Mindy, we have got to get you out there sharing this message. I know you do it individually. I know you do it in groups, but with more people. You have a phenomenal message. You're a remarkable person with a remarkable mission ahead of you. And I've taken, just on a little notepad here, almost 6-7 pages of notes just from you speaking.
Thank you.
It won't just pull you. It won't just pull you. It will propel you. I mean, that statement alone is so true. It doesn't pull you, it propels you. When you do what you love to do, and if you believe in yourself, L-I-E-V-E in believe means love in Indo-European. So if you believe in yourself, you, in essence, you love yourself. And when you begin to love yourself, you start to propel forward instead of backward, and it's just not a pull, it's an actual propulsion. Now, Sean and Mindy, feel free to jump in anytime. We've got about 10 more minutes here. Sean, there was a point maybe where you didn't love yourself and you didn't love the situation. I can't imagine, you know, breaking a leg on Halloween and you wanted to be like all the other kids. How many surgeries you've had. You know, I met your father when you were in Hollywood. It'd be really easy to just be the victim and say, I got a bad set of cards and I'm just going to fold them up and I'm going to be bitter and I'm going to be mad at God or my creator, whatever your belief is, for what has happened to me. And you are just what Mindy said, is that you have a gift for just engaging with people because you care about them more than you care about you. When did you make that shift? And share what your mother told you when you were one of your most disappointed times of your life.
Sure. Well, I can tell you, I'll answer the 4 questions I think you just asked. I want to make sure
you
get it all.
Yeah, I asked you 14, Sean.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Thank you, buddy.
So the ones that I tracked, here they go. First of all, what good would I be to anyone listening had I taken the bitter route? And that was something I recognized early in life, and I'll tell you the moment. But I realized nothing got better in my life from feeling sorry for myself. when I stopped feeling sorry for myself, I could have very clear-cut rewards. I could accomplish things. I could obtain, you know, opportunities and experiences. And when I felt sorry for myself, nobody wanted to be around me. Nobody wanted to interact with me. And I certainly wouldn't, if I stayed in that cloud of darkness, I wouldn't have attracted Mindy Kness or, you know, the career that I have or the friends that I have around me. So I realized at a very young age that when you feel sorry for yourself, you actually, as Mindy mentioned, you repel, you push away that which you ultimately desire. And so I think I did a little bit of a cause and effect analysis, realizing that if I acted from a place of pity, I would get horrible results. And so, but it all can be traced, I believe, to a moment where I made a massive shift. It was Halloween, and I had broken my leg, and I couldn't go to the school party, and couldn't go trick-or-treating that night, couldn't show anybody my costume. And I was very angry. I was angry at my creator. I was angry at myself. It was just a lot of anger and rage in me and sadness. And my mom had to snap me out of it, so she asked a very pivotal question that I pose to everybody listening right now, which is this circumstance that you're in right now, is this going to be a gift or a burden in your life? And if we all think about that for a moment, is the difficult things that you're going through in your life right now, are you going to decide that it's going to be a gift or a burden? Because if you look at it from a burden, then it just continues to spiral out of control. You continue pushing people away. You continue to build that victim mentality. And I believe that victim mentality is very clear that it's believing that things are done to you and there's nothing you can do about it. Whereas the victor mentality is that I am the creation of my reality. And, you know, at that young age, I realized that, you know, I loved my life. And, see, I don't think I ever didn't love myself. I think I might have had moments where I didn't like my condition. I was fortunately raised in a really good family that taught me to love myself to the core. However, I still had moments where I was upset because I couldn't go running or jumping or playing out in the woods with my friends. But in that moment, I realized I love my life, and maybe the purpose to why the Creator put me in this position was to teach other people how to love their life amidst their circumstance, their pain, and help them choose to look at life as a gift and not a burden. Because, you know, to close all that up for you, Kevin, I believe that we only have control over two things. And that at the end of the day, there's only two things we have control over, and that is our interpretations, meaning what are we going to make this mean? You know, something happens to us, and then we have to decide, what does this mean to me? And then the other thing that we have choice over, control over, is how are we going to respond? What are we going to do with this interpretation? And I have interpreted that my condition, my container, my life is a gift. I responded by going out and sharing that message, by attracting amazing people, by finding my what Mindy and I call our soul match, the perfect match to my soul and the perfect match to her soul. And it's been a glorious life that just gets better. I mean, Mindy and I, we're oftentimes in traffic and we play the game, you know, what am I grateful for? And we could just go on for hours about all the things, both big and small. You know, I've mentioned everything from our love to Q-tips in the morning, using a Q-tip after a shower. I just love how my ears feel clean, you know? You can be grateful for anything, and it's actually impossible to be upset and in a place of anger and depression if you're looking at what you have and coming from a space of gratitude.
Well, I'm taking notes. I'm doing the same thing that I was with Mindy, with you, Sean, that we only have control over two things, you know, our interpretation of this circumstance and how we respond to it. You know, Dr. Frankl's work, you know, it's from the stimulus to the response. That's where the choice takes place. This has been a phenomenal call. I am going, after a little exercise tonight here, I'm going to be writing for a few hours, and you've inspired me, and I I just want both of you to know that you will make a huge difference in the world. You already are. When you rolled in and shared your message in front of 350 of the top speakers and authors and entrepreneurs in the world, you were the highlight of that conference, Sean. There was 50 to $100 billion in revenue in that room the day you spoke. Billion. And I mean, you had an impact. I want people on this call to know that successful people, people who follow their heart, tap into their gifts of greatness. They're not just gifts, they're gifts of greatness. They have, I believe, three beliefs. And you hit on this for the entire call. One, they believe that one problem area in their life doesn't mean they have problems in all areas. You could have a health issue, a relationship issue, a financial issue, whatever area of your life. It doesn't mean you have problems in all areas of your life. One problem doesn't mean you have problems in every area. They don't catastrophize. Two, successful, productive, moving forward with heart-type people. Couche Alon people. How's your heart? It's full. They believe that most problems are temporary. And most problems are. And then, Sean, you shared the third, which I think is the most powerful. They believe that they are co-creators of their life. Now, I believe in a higher power. So, yeah, can I create the life of my dreams? Yeah, if I tap into the gifts that were given to me by a creator to serve other people and co-create my life. Your thought about not being a victim, not wallowing in pity. It's the difference between, and this isn't new to me, but between being a thermostat and a thermometer. And you've heard that, Sean. Mindy, you've heard it. But if I'm a thermometer, whatever the temperature is, it could be 10 degrees, it could be 110. I'm just a victim. I'm at the whim of what happens. And what you said earlier, victims view things as being done to them. Where victors, they are the co-creators of their life. And they believe that and they live that every day. So Mindy, Sean, with our last 3 minutes here, how would you tell the dozens of callers and probably hundreds and maybe more on the internet from all over who will listen to this live or later in a recording, what advice would you give them to co-create their life? How would you go about?
You go first, Mindy.
Well, I would say that it's all about reaching for what feels really good. A lot of people say, well, I don't know how to listen to my heart. I don't even know what it's saying. It's silent. It's not speaking to me. And how you can begin to listen in is to go toward what feels good. Your emotions are a really good indicator of the heart. So that's how I would say to begin, is just to say, what feels better in this situation? Should I do this or should I do this? And the one that feels better, and I'm not talking about instant gratification feels better, but feels better on a higher conscious level, that's going to be the one to choose, and then to move forward from that point on with whatever choice opens itself up to you next.
Wow. Wow. Before I go to you, Sean, Mindy, you are a sound bite a second. You're a sound bite a second. I knew you were, but maybe it's because I'm in the middle of finishing one of my next great works, and you're really bringing thoughts and ideas and insights. You never let your mind talk your heart out of what it knows to be true. I mean, if it's the seed of our wellness, our heart, don't override it, because every time you do, you're going to regret it. And you've given us great advice. And again, your website is www.restartyourheart. That's one of the places that they can find you. You do integrative coaching. I get requests for coaching all the time, and I can only handle a handful of people each week. And I know you do phenomenal work, and I'm going to be sending some people your way Mindy, and I know you're probably buried as it is, but I'm just honored that you would take time out of your Wednesday night to impact lives on this call, and you've done it. And I'm just grateful and honored to call you my friend. I appreciate the email message that you sent me after you started to read Aspire. And it just meant a lot to me. It really meant a lot. So
thank you,
Mindy.
It's a great honor to be on your call. So I'm hugely grateful to you as well.
Well, you just let me know, as we did at Sing all the time, you let me know how I can best serve you, and I will do it, no pun intended, in a heartbeat, in a half of a heartbeat.
Thank you.
Sean, you're out punting your coverage just like I did with Sherry.
I love about studying relationships and understanding the heart, Mindy's, main passion as well as her life work here, is that if you believe, like Carl Jung, the great minds of psychology, that your lover is your unconscious mind, then if your unconscious mind is somebody that is peaceful and loving and gracious, then that says a lot about you. If they are chaotic and in turmoil and in pain and dramatic, then that says a lot about you. So you have to make sure that you pick the right person and that you create an environment in your own self that is peaceful, because it's an amazing gift to attract a very peaceful, loving person as I have. And to answer your question, Kevin, about what do you do when things get challenging for the listeners right now, I think the biggest thing that I've learned is that you have to have a clear vision of what you want your life to look like. And that has to be your true north. That has to be pointing north in your compass. And it doesn't matter what's going on in the day-to-day. No one walks around looking only at their feet. They look forward for a reason. If you looked behind you when you're walking, you would run into everything. If you looked only at your feet, you would probably never, get to enjoy the beautiful scenery around you, nor would you know what's coming at you. So there's a reason why we look up and look forward. And the same thing with our life. We have to know what we're looking forward to, and we have to know that there's something coming for us and that we're a part of getting there. And, it's just a beautiful life when you get clear on what you want. Let go of looking behind you and let go of just focusing on where you are, because you will get so overwhelmed if you keep looking at where you are as opposed to where you want to go.
Well, you two are remarkable. How's the best way to find you or contact you, Sean?
For them to go to Sean Times, so that's S-E-A-N Times, TIMES.com. And if people go there, it's a blog about my life, what's going on with me, and I posted not too long ago a video of Mindy actually speaking in Costa Rica on the same stage that I was presenting on, and it's a really cool video of Mindy. You guys want to check that out as well.
Ooh, I haven't seen that. I'm going to download that and watch that. Thank you.
Yeah, I knew I could get your attention, Kevin, if I said Mindy was on something. You guys
I want
have a
you.
Very platonic crush on each other. It's really sweet.
A platonic crush. I love it. I got a man crush on you, Sean, just so you know.
I'll take it.
I got a
I'll
big time
it.
Man
if we
crush,
could just have you walk it. Around behind us, Kevin, we would have no bad days, because we could hear, Mindy, Sean, you're amazing. And I think that would be a good little experience.
Well, and I mean it. I hope I'm not a glad-hander. I wasn't
not at all.
Sean trying to get as many cards as I could. I knew that the people that I was meant to meet, I would meet. And you two were two of those people. And as Joseph Campbell taught so vividly in Power of Myth, when you follow your bliss, you put yourself on the track that's been there all the while, and you begin to meet people who are in the field of your bliss, and they open doors to you. You've opened my mind. You've opened my heart. You've opened doors for my thinking later tonight and tomorrow. I hope I'll still be thinking later. But I'm so grateful our paths have crossed. You just let me know. I know we did this as saying, how can we best serve you? John, we're going to do some fun things together. I speak with Chad Hymas quite a bit together. We just did a writer speakers conference. I see several people on the call that were there. And anything that I can help you or Mindy with, you're not looking for a lot of help, but I just admire your work. Your message impacted me right at the heart, at the core level. And I'll never forget it. I'll never forget. I have my journal, the notes that I took. And, I mean, you're speaking to authors like Jack Canfield, who sold $500 million books, and to Brian Tracy and some of the top human developers in the world. And their jaws were wide open because you will achieve your purpose of ridding the world of insecurity. And again, Mindy, thank you so much for joining us on the call. What an honor to have both of you. I'm going to click, if it will work for my room here. You don't have to stay on for this. We start recording now, but I'm going to click so that people from all over the world can join in for the last few minutes. I hope you enjoyed the call tonight. Tell us who you are and where you're from for just a handful of you, please.
Hi, Kevin. It's Nathan from Bakersfield.
Oh, Nathan, Sean, I want to connect you with Nathan.
California.
So, tell us who you are from California.
Shirley, yeah, Shirley Reed.
Holy
Minnesota, Wisconsin.
Oh, so here you are in Wisconsin. I'm in Madison. I'm close. Did you enjoy the call tonight?
Oh, yes.
Awesome. Please tell us who you are and where you're from.
Nemo from Hawaii.
How are you, my good friend in Hawaii? Aloha and much mahalo to you.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you. Love the call.
Harry Epping, Wilsonville, Oregon. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Stephen.
Gary Epping is who I was talking about, Sean. I want to connect you. Gary's, you've got a very similar mission. Your website, Gary, is?
My Paralysis.
MyParalysis.com. Doing some phenomenal things, a coaching client of mine, and really more importantly, just a dear friend. And I'm looking forward to talking to Jennifer, your wife, tomorrow. We have a coaching call tomorrow. So, Gary, thanks for being on the call tonight, buddy. I hope you enjoyed it.
Thank you. Little Christian is here as well.
Oh, beautiful Christian. Hi, Christian. Four and a half years old, going on 45. Hi, buddy. Oh, my goodness. When you meet Christian, you two, you won't believe it. Please tell us who you are and where you're from. Anybody else? I've got another couple of minutes.
Hello,
David
Kevin.
David Schaefer, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Nebraska. Dave, good to have you on. I know Dave Schaefer. We've talked. Please, someone else was saying something just at the same time.
Yes, hello, Kevin. It's Marlene here.
Marlene, what time is it in Belgium?
It's 3 o'clock in the morning.
So it's now 3 o'clock. Was it worth getting up early to listen to Mindy and Sean?
Yes, it was great. Thank you. Thank you very much for this lovely call.
Merci, Marlene. Merci.
Je vous en prie.
Take care.
Taylor also.
Yes, I will tell Taylor. Thanks for your prayers and thoughts on her behalf.
I think I just heard
Scott from Honolulu, Hawaii, with Clear Channel, was just at our speaker office retreat. I think we're talking here pretty soon, Scott. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes. You know, I've given away 10 books since I last saw you. And just in the last week, I've had one of my friends come back and say they read it twice in 1 week. And so the good work you're doing is just having a tremendous impact everywhere.
Scott, thank you. We're going to do that speaker authors retreat at Park City next year, and I want to have Sean and Mindy come up. Did you enjoy that retreat?
Oh, it was absolutely amazing. I mean, I think I can speak for everyone in the room, and that it was a mountaintop experience, and just had a way of, you have a gift for bringing people together in a way that just speaks to everybody's need in the room at the time. And I think 2.5 days was the perfect amount of time to make it happen.
Great. Well, we're going to get together. I think you're coming to Coronado September 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. And we only take 17 rooms, and we will fill up that Aspire Life Mastery experience soon. Please tell us who you are and where you're from. I've just got about 90 more seconds. I keep stretching it. Please tell us who you are.
Amazing call, Kevin. It's Judy.
Oh,
hi, Judy,
you know. There's Judy and Nathan. Nathan and Judy were both at our speaker office retreat. Judy, I don't know that you've missed too many calls in the last several months. I was going to do this for 4 weeks. You've actually been a guest on our call. Did this equal the billing that we had for the call, Judy?
It just touched my heart. I'm so glad that I sent it out to everyone a couple times today. I hope that every one of them took advantage of truly, truly being inspired. This was just amazing. Thank you so much for sharing, Sean, and thank you, Kevin, for everything you do for everyone every day of your life.
I get to write, speak, and consult to help people realize their dreams. I live a beautiful life, and I'm very, very, very grateful for it. I've also got a man crush on your husband, so you give Louie my best.
I will do that. Unfortunately, he's outside digging because we have a leak. So.
Oh, I'm sorry about the leak. So awesome. And
I tell him so much.
Thank you. I heard Nathan from Bakersfield. Sean, I'd love to connect you with Nathan. We met when I spoke there earlier, and we'll make a connection between the two of you.
Awesome. We are friends on Facebook already.
He's outside digging because we have a leak. So.
Okay, great. Please, two more. Let's just do two or three more. I see people from Iowa, New Hampshire, Minnesota, Lancaster, San Luis Obispo, Ontario, Canada. Just tell us two or three more people who you are and where you're from.
Great call, Kevin. This is Leanne Meredith in Dawson and Guilford, New Hampshire.
Great to hear you again. You're the 603 number, aren't you? Calling in
yes,
from New Hampshire.
We yes, we are.
Watch, what about... Great.
Glad hey, Kevin, it's Renita.
No.
Oh. Here's Renita, little Renita. Thank you for your beautiful message yesterday. You have things coming your way tomorrow.
Yay.
And Renita.
Did you see the rainbow? You got a hug for Dad?
Hey, I love it. We got somebody in the background. That's what's most important.
Huh?
I got a little hug for Dad in the background. I'm not even going to mute whoever that
Marley.
Is. That's what
Don't do
out
that.
About.
That will break, and Rex will be so mad.
I'm going to wish everybody a good night. Go watch What About Bob? If you're from New Hampshire, watch Marley the dog and enjoy a great night. Sean, Mindy, you are phenomenal. All my friends from all over the world, what a pleasure you joined us tonight. Godspeed and namaste to each and every one of you. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you. Namaste. Bye-bye.
Namaste.
Take care.
Bye, Kevin.
Thank you.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted. For help with guest options, press star 0. The moderator has not yet joined the conference. Please stand by.